Special things to share with you. Thank you, Mike. Do you know what I have here? What is this?
That's a world map.
That is a world map of the big, huge, beautiful world that we live in. Do you have any idea where you live on this map? You guys are good. You know your geography. All right. Yep, that's where we are, up in Oregon. You can see it, I think, on the map, too. There should be one. And I, this morning, am going to share with you a little about some friends I have that live in Colombia. Do you have any idea where in the world Colombia is? Yeah. Awesome. How many of you know where Colombia was? That's what I want to know. Okay, good, good. So you can see kind of from all the way up here to down here, that's a full day's trip down to Colombia. But I want to share with you guys a little about some friends of mine who are your age, and they live in a place called El Bagre, Antioquia. Can you say El Bagre? El Bagre. You know what that means? It's a type of fish. It's a catfish. A catfish. I don't know what they look like, but that's what El Bagre is. And my friends live in a place you can see on the pictures. That's a group of my friends in El Bagre, and they live in a place where there's rivers, and let's see what the next picture is, some beautiful countryside. Look at their flying kites. Do you guys ever fly kites? Have you guys ever flown a kite? They out there flying kite. Look how beautiful it is. So much green. But you know what? There's also a lot of destruction that's happening in the town. Look at that. Look at the river. There used to be trees there. But you know what happens? There's gold mining that is happening in their town that's gone on for a long time. And it's created a lot of destruction. And it's created a lot of conflict, right? Because if you have gold and he wants gold and she wants gold, that's going to create some conflict. So my friends who are your age are thinking, you know, what can we do? We're just kids. But they are convinced that they can be a part of the solution. So they are participating in something called Be Peace, Make Peace. Can you say that? Be Peace, Make Peace. Yep. Because they've been learning from the Bible about how God loves the world, the whole world, including them, including their town, including you, and how Genesis 1 tells us that the world, the creation he made, is good. Right? It's good. You're good. I'm good. The creation in Colombia is good. And kids like Christopher and Valeria, they are learning what it means to be peacemakers from the Bible. So there is a very important word, and I'm going to have a volunteer. My friend Roger is going to help me. Roger, do you mind just kind of standing over here and holding our little diagram? Sorry, it's a little bent from my travels. But in the Bible, there's a special word that helps us understand peace. Shalom. I want everyone to say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. And shalom is a peace that is so big and beautiful and holistic. It involves every part of who we are and every part of what God has created. So we're going to look at what shalom looks like. I have some puzzle pieces here. Okay. Brooklyn, would you like a puzzle piece? So we're going to look at what shalom looks like. What does peace, the peace that God wants us to experience, what does it look like? So who wants to go first? Jack, right? Got it? Where do you think that goes on our shalom circle? Okay. So shalom means peace with God. It means we have a good relationship with God who created us, who loves us, who saves us through his son, Jesus, right? We pray, we talk to God, we worship God. Also, though, shalom, peace, is good relationships, yeah, with other people, right? So it also affects the way that I act with my brother, my sister, my friends at school, maybe those people who aren't quite my friends at school. All of this has to do with shalom and peace. Brooklyn, you want to come up and put your piece up? I'll help you. Come on over here. Come on over here. Excellent. Oh, Brooklyn's got a very pretty piece. Where do you think this goes? Put it here. There? Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Good job. Fabulous. Thank you, Brooklyn. What do you think this represents on our Shalom circle? The world, creation, God's creation, right? Have you ever looked at a bird and thought, wow, what was God thinking when he created this? How about you both do it together, okay? This is the last piece of our Shalom circle. Gentle, gentle, otherwise Shalom falls apart. All right, so what is this? This is also that God wants me to love myself, to have a healthy way of living, whether it's the way that I take care of my body, my mind, my heart. But all of these pieces are a part of this shalom, of this peace that God wants. And that's what my friends in Colombia are learning about. And you can see, take a look at this picture up here. There's our shalom circle. And then the next one. What's the next picture? What do you think they're doing? Oh yeah, Dios is God. Good job. What does it look like they're doing there? That's a good answer. Yeah, but they're actually planting a tree where the earth has been destroyed from the gold mining, and they're cleaning up a park. So again, they're learning how peace, being a peace builder also means taking care of what's around them. You guys, what happens if I take away one of these pieces? I just destroyed our work. I destroyed shalom, didn't I? So it's so important to remember that God has created this beautiful world, and he's created us, and he wants us to live in shalom, but also to be people who do shalom. So what do you think? What's one way that you act as someone? Oh no. It's good. What's one way that you can be someone who lives in shalom with other people? Yeah, what do you think? With God or with other people? Yeah, that's huge. What else?
You help out with stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a helper, right? All of those things come out of our loving God and God loving us, and then we're able to show our love for his creation. So I want to say thank you from my friends in Colombia for taking some time to learn about the things that they're doing, and I hope that I can take back and tell them who you are and all the things that you're doing here in Eugene. So can I pray for you quick? Yeah? God, thank you so much that you want us to live in peace, God. That is your desire from the beginning of creation, that we would experience wholeness and flourishing, God, that we would experience good relationships and peace. And I thank you for people like Valeria and Christopher and Cristal. I thank you for my friends here, my new friends in Eugene. God, would you help them be models, examples to people around them of what peace looks like, of what shalom looks like. We thank you and we praise you, and I pray your blessing on them in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Roger.
I'm going to have everybody stand as we sing about being known.
Don't fall off the stair, Roger.
Being known for our love, our joy, and our peace. Let us be known by our love. Let every word and every deed honor the sun. Let our light shine in every eye. Let us be known by our love. for the glory of the Father, for the glory of the Son, for the glory of the Spirit. Let us be known by our love. Let us be known by our joy. In every home and every heart, sing to the Lord. Let our light show goodness and hope. Let us be known by our joy, for the glory of the Father, for the glory of the Son, for the glory of the Spirit. Let us be known by our joy. Que la alegría sea nuestro motor en cada lugar y corazón. Canta al Señor y de nuestras vidas un dar esperanza. Que la alegría sea nuestro motor por la gloria del Padre, por la gloria del Hijo, por la gloria del Espíritu. Que la alegría sea nuestro motor. Let us be known by our peace. In every town, in every tribe, Jesus is King. Let us go forth, heal and restore. Let us be known by our peace, for the glory of the Father, for the glory of the Son, for the glory of the Spirit. Let us be known. Por la gloria del Padre, por la gloria del Hijo, por la gloria del Espíritu, que el amor sea nuestro motor. Que la alegría sea nuestro motor, que la paz sea nuestro motor. Let us be known by our love. You can be seen.
Well, good morning. Buenos dias. It is really good, really good to be with you this morning. My name is Katie Isasa, and my son Julio and I and our two boys have had the privilege of serving in partnership with you all for over 12 years now as we serve in Colombia. And as someone asked, so I'm going to just clear the air. No, I did not kick anyone and break my foot. It was a missed stare. So we're on the road to healing, but that's why I'm up here in a boot. But just bring greetings from Julio and the boys. We are actually in Minnesota right now as we're on what is called ECC home assignment. So it's been a year and we're visiting our churches that support us across the U.S. We've been partnering with the Covenant, participating in different global gatherings that they've been having. Our boys have been in school in the U.S. for the first time in 10 years. So Sam did his senior year and graduated in May, and Benjamin did his freshman year. So it's been a huge joy and just a privilege to watch my boys once again be resilient and find their place in a new place. And I shared a little bit last night with some of the folks who gathered for a delicious Colombian meal. Thank you, by the way. It was really, really good. That we actually have discerned together with Serve Globally to extend our time in the States, extend our home assignment, to be able to take the time we need to visit more of our supporting churches after what's been just a really hard 2 years for our family after I lost my parents tragically in a car accident back in 2024. So we have just literally been held by God and by your prayers in this journey. And we're just grateful for a little more time in Minnesota to be near family and to give our family a little bit more stability. But I want to share, before we jump in to the scripture and to the message, I just want to give a little kind of glimpse as to what we've been about and what's been happening in Colombia. So I want to share kind of three just stories of transformation. We work in three main areas, and so I just want to give you a little glimpse of how we are seeing God's transforming work in these areas. So first is through theological education. My husband and I, Julio, are both part-time professors at the Biblical Seminary of Colombia, a non-denominational seminary, which actually is a undergrad degree. So it's a 5-year degree that people graduate with Bible and theology. Many of them are younger students starting out their career. Some of them are pastors who have been around a long time and just finally have the means to get an education. So you'll see in the next picture that we just have the privilege of getting to pour into the lives of students, both in person, who come to Medellin, they come and live in Medellin and they do their studies, and then also we teach classes online. You can see the next picture is, that's the city of Medellin where we live, a city of 4 million people. Right now, as you all have probably heard in the news, Colombia is reeling from a 7.4 earthquake. We are grateful that Medellin was not more significantly affected. They felt it. I guess it was horrifying. But unfortunately, damage along the western coast, along some of the western cities like Cali and Pereira, has really been devastating. And so we really ask for your prayers. There is a lot of recovery work to do. There is a lot of trauma that comes along with a natural disaster like that. So the seminary, the Covenant Church, are all trying to find ways to partner with organizations and people in these places in Colombia. But so this is the city of Medellin. And then you'll see this is just one of the classrooms. And the young woman who's in the front of the picture, she reached out about a year and a half ago and said, "Profe, would you consider mentoring me?" And at the time, I was leaving for the U.S., but I said, "I absolutely would, if you're open to meeting online." And for the past year, we've met once a month online, and it's just been an absolute joy to see her coming into her own, understanding her gifts, understanding how God has equipped her and called her for ministry. Next slide, you'll see Julio. Julio's had the opportunity to actually take students out of the classroom and out into the jungles of Colombia. So that's what I want to share with you next. One of like our greatest joys has been working with the Embera Catillo people. It's an indigenous group. They are kind of up in northern eastern Colombia along the Sinú River. And 4 years ago, they started out with Julio, just a small group of pastors who said, we know Jesus, but we don't know the Bible. And would you come alongside and teach us? And so that began an amazing, amazing journey. The next one you'll see is Julio on the boat with some of the students and with Eileen, the leader in the community. I was sharing, it's you got to do a plane ride and then a bus ride and then another bus ride and then a motorcycle ride and then a 2-hour boat ride up the river to get to their community. So it is quite the experience once you're there. You can see on the next slide just a little bit of life in the community. Everyone sleeps together in the same room in hammocks. The other day I talked with Julio and he had been visiting. He said, I didn't sleep much. And I was like, well, why not? He said, it's so loud. I was like, how is it loud? You're in the middle of the jungle. And he's like, well, there's cats and dogs and goats and chickens and pigs. And I was like, oh yeah, I wasn't thinking of those noises. But it's amazing how the community has welcomed in Julio, the seminary. They've asked them to train them in a way that is understandable to them using their oral tradition. So next picture you'll see, we did a year-long focus on Old Testament, and at the end of the year, 35 students graduated with a certificate in Old Testament. And it's through story, it's through drawings, it's through them talking together in their own language and sharing what they see, what God reveals to them through Scripture. And the next slide. Then they work together in small groups, and they draw pictures, and they tell the story again. And I think one of the things that's been transformative is how it's reshaped Julio's own understanding of Scripture and my own understanding of how God speaks to us in community through Scripture. They just finished a New Testament course, and they had 50 students graduate from 14 years old to 80 years old. And One of the things that they have been able to produce, thanks to the Biblical Seminary and thanks to some of Julio's students who did their senior project, they have been able together to produce a Bible storybook of the Old Testament. So they've taken their drawings, the representation of who they are, their culture, and then with a little bit of text, because again, this is not a people who uses written text, it's oral, but they do have in their language and in Spanish. And what this is people like Leo and others who live 8 hours away from the community where they meet, they can take this back. And they can use this as they're sharing the gospel with other people. So I will have this on the back table. Please take a look. It really is just one of the most stunning things I've ever seen. And we are in the process of raising funds because together they're putting together a New Testament book. They're going to focus on the Gospel of Luke. So they're working on a Luke storybook Bible. So that's just been one of the most beautiful, gorgeous things that God has done in the past year or so. The next thing I want to highlight is just how I've been able to see new leaders equipped. You know, a lot of people say, how can you leave Colombia for a year? Like, doesn't ministry stop? And I am just so grateful to say it does not, because it doesn't depend on us. From the very beginning, we knew our role was to equip and train leaders who then could equip and train their people. And that's what's happened with these youth leaders. You'll see in the next picture, we've had three generations now of a program that we created together to train local youth leaders. And next picture you'll see, this was when I was with them 2 years ago. We graduated the first cohort. And then just a couple months ago, I got a picture of them with the latest cohort that's graduated. And then finally, and you'll hear more about this in the sermon, but one of the areas that we work in is peace building. And you heard a little bit about peace, make peace. But there are actually three different peace projects in Colombia right now. You'll see the next picture, we have Se Paz, which is Be Peace, Make Peace. We have Art Peace, and we have Shalom Music. So the amazing thing is the four women you see in this picture are leading these peace projects. They were all trained in a peace-building certificate program we did in 2018. And out of that, these projects were born. So to see the fruit of something that Julio had this dream of and to see God bringing it to fruition. So Se Paz is the next picture. And again, you heard a little bit about them and their work with Shalom. Then we have Art Paz. Art Paz is out of San Marcos, a very small town, and they are using arts and drama and dance and you name it to involve kids in the community in learning about new ways to live, ways that include nonviolent resolution of conflicts, that involve engaging our ability to dream. They work in a very under-resourced area. Next slide. But they have been recognized by their town. They've been invited into kind of some more civic places. And we're just like absolutely thrilled by the work that they are doing. And then lastly, Shalom Music is in Bogota. And again, it's run by youth leaders in a local church. And they are using music lessons as a way to connect with kids in the community. It is a very, very rough community where they live. There is a lot of gang activity. There's a lot of poverty. And this has been a way for creating safe space for the kids. But the funny thing that happened, and you'll see it in the next slide, they're kind of small, but the older adults in the community said, well, what about us? We want to learn some of this stuff. So they started a program with the older adults in their community, and one of the things involved dance lessons. So here you have a couple pictures of them doing the tango. So that was a first for this little local church in Bogota. But again, just amazing to see the impact of the church in the community. So I just want to end with a verse that's been important, and it's kind of going to be our concluding verse of the sermon, but it's Romans 12:21. Because when I think of all of these examples in Colombia, I think of people who are not letting evil get the best of them, but they are truly doing good. And I believe that that's what we're called to do. We would love to chat with you more. We would love to get more information to you. There's a booth at the back where you can sign up for our newsletter or snap a picture of the QR code. We have information about the theological project that we're raising funds for, our prayer cards, and oh yeah, here's our QR code as well if you want to get our monthly updates, though I know your church is good about getting them out to you. But again, we just want to say none of this would be possible without you, without your congregation, without the generosity of people who give and who have just loved on our family for so many years. So thank you. Thank you for that. And now I am excited to be able to share a little of what God has put on my heart over the past year and a half. And so I'm wondering how many of you are familiar with the story, A Very Hungry Caterpillar? Anyone? Yeah. Our kids loved it, and I loved reading it when they were little. It's a beautiful, colorful story, right, of the process a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. It's a story of transformation, and who doesn't love a transformation story? It is the heart of the Christian story, and it should be the heart of our experience as disciples of Christ. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You see, as Christians, we hold on to the hope that by the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed daily into the image of Christ who we follow and serve. However, many times we talk about transformation, I think we don't always tangibly understand even what it is we're talking about. I realized this after years ago, I preached a sermon on the spiritual disciplines and how God uses them as means to transform us. And afterwards, my son Sam, in all honesty, said, But Mom, what does transformation mean? Like, what are we transformed into? And I realized, oh yeah, I missed the mark on that sermon on being able to kind of bring that into focus. But that's what, those are the questions I want to ask. And so this morning we're going to turn to the Bible and ask the question. We're going to look together at the text in Romans that was read for us that tells us what transformation in the church looks like. We're going to look at the context of the letter to the church in Rome and ask the question, what is transformation and what is the evidence of a transformed life and community? And then how does it apply to us? So let's dig in. Let's look a little bit at Romans. What do we need to know about Romans to understand Romans 12? First of all, it's a letter, and it was written to a church that is in conflict, that is experiencing division, right? And this division is based on cultural and theological differences. We don't know exactly how the church in Rome was formed, but we do know that it was a church made up of Jews and Gentiles. The Jews had been expelled from Rome by the Emperor Claudio, but came back under Nero about 5 years later. And with their return, there was this conflict that developed with respect to who was part of the people of God and who wasn't. Because the Jews believed they had certain privileges for being the chosen people of God, and this caused them to look down on the newer Gentile Christians. In similar ways, the Gentiles looked down on the Jews for their ways of behaving, their ways for understanding their position before God. And so Paul writes this letter, and as you look through the letter, you see this theme emerging, and he concludes that neither of them is better than the other. The Jews, as well as the Gentiles, are sinners before God. There is no one just, but that all are recipients of God's mercy. The Jews and the Gentiles both have to be justified through faith in Jesus. And the first 11 chapters, Paul shows the basis in resolving the conflict is in understanding that they are on equal playing field before God. There is not a hierarchy. So then we get to Romans 12. And Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, in light of this, so in light of the fact that neither of you is better than the other, that you're all sinners, that we all live because of God's mercy, we are a part of God's family, in light of this, he writes Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, Paul is inviting the church to understand that it's not about rituals and particular cultural expressions of worship. It's about offering our whole lives to God as living sacrifices in response to the mercy that we have received as sinners needing to be justified by Christ. The Message version says it like this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Because, friends, our motivation for offering ourselves completely to God is not to earn favor or to earn acceptance, but it's rather a response because we have been forgiven and we have been changed by God. And this is not just a one-time offering. Paul makes it clear that this is a moment-by-moment, day-by-day surrendering of our lives to God's transforming work. It's a way of life. It is holistic, and it involves our whole selves, heart, body, mind, and spirit. In verse 2, Paul urges them to not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed. And this transformation or metamorphosis that the Spirit does is from the inside out. Paul emphasizes that this transformation is made possible by the renewing of our minds. And this renewing of the mind implies thinking a different way. It means not thinking like those of the world. the world being marked by sin and death, right? So how does this renewing happen? Well, we know that through the Spirit, as we come to scriptures, we come to know God and God's purposes for us. That's what we have learned with the Embera Katio. As we've come together, we have experienced God in new, deep, rich ways. There is so much different about us, the way we live, the way we dress, the way we understand the world. But as we have been able to enter into their community, and as we've shared scripture, we have learned from them. I'll show you another picture. Again, we have had the privilege of taking in seminary students from Medellin, and they go and they hear and they see, the way that the Embera embrace the story of creation, the excitement around a God who creates the world and all its beauty and diversity. And it's like they see scriptures for the first time, right? I am so thankful for, next picture, the ways that our family, even though I have not been able to go into the jungle, but we've had several of the students come and stay in our home. And the way they have blessed us, the way they have literally called my boys over and said, can I pray a blessing over you? Can I sing my blessing over you? And the ways that Julio and Aline will sit for hours and hours trying to understand a certain portion of scripture because Aline doesn't know what a lamb is because there's no lambs in his culture or in his community. So I have seen, I have experienced firsthand this transforming, this renewing of the mind as I live in Colombia. Next picture. Just another example of the learning that happens in community. And then next one. So I believe the invitation to be transformed in one's way of thinking and living is not a new one, right? It's the one that Jesus himself issued to his disciples as he began ministry in Matthew 4:17. He says, repent because the kingdom of God had come near. And this invitation to repent literally means to change one's mind or purpose. Metaneo. Change your way of thinking and it will change the way you live. This is the invitation that Jesus gave. And this is what is emphasized in Romans 12 by Paul. And it is extended to us. Change your way of thinking through the renewing of your mind and experience life transformation. So friends, a couple questions for you. How have you experienced this renewing of the mind? How is the way you see and understand the world different as a result of living in the reality of God's mercy? And how has the Spirit, through scriptures and community with others, transformed the way you think and live? So let's look a little bit more at what transformation looks like, because Paul is very clear about what a transformed life looks like. So Esau McCulley, in his book Reading While Black, affirms that the transformed lives of the believers changed the way Christians lived in the world. Right? It wasn't just we believe, it was we believe we are transformed and we live differently. We see verses 3-8 that transformation means we see ourselves in relation to others, right? Particularly others in the church family. Paul says in verses 3-8 that it changes the way we interact with people, with family, of faith. He reminds us that we are members of one body. Right? And he likens it to a human body, with different parts. Again, I want to read you the paraphrase from the Message because I just think it gives such a visual image for us. This is verses 4-6. In this way, we are like various parts of the body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each one of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body, but as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. I just love that. And now with a broken foot, I never realized how important the fifth metatarsal was. I didn't know there was a fifth metatarsal, right? You don't realize until something is missing how everything works together. But Paul says it so clearly. We are not jealous of each other's gifts. We're not threatened by our differences. We belong to each other. And we are called to serve one another to the best of our ability. There are many ways we have been gifted uniquely, right? According to Paul, there's not a hierarchy of gifts. They are gifts from God to serve others. And we have been called to use them according to what we've been given. I think a lot about my local church in Colombia when I think about this passage, because of the way I see them functioning as a body. So I want to share with you, introduce you to a couple of my friends, Juan and Lina. Juan and Lina are a young couple who have been equipped to serve teens and adolescents in their church. They have been leaders of a new program called New City Kids, which is offering, again, music lessons to kids in the community. And they are mobilizing the church to get out of the four walls of the building and out into the community. They are so passionate and they are so compassionate. And even today they were inviting us, inviting the larger community to a worship time led by these youth. I also think of Lady, my friend Lady, who is passionate about children and uses her gifts to teach them and to equip others to lead and teach. And then there's this group of people who have been equipped to preach. And I think of Juan David, who has the natural gift of preaching God's word. And I think of Victor, who uses his gift of music to lead us in worship, but also to teach kids piano at New City Kids. I see the way they work together and how they are example of members of the body who have understood their function as part of the body. They serve together. They use the gifts. There is no competition or hierarchy. They belong to each other. So friends, a question for you, a couple questions. What gifts have you been given? How are you using those gifts to build up the community, to build up others? Where do you need to stop comparing yourself to others? That's one that kind of gets me. As we continue verses 9 through 21, Paul offers more example, this time about how we have been transformed, but in relationship to others in society outside of the church, right? So verses 9 through 13, Paul says we have to focus on love in action, even in suffering, especially with those in need, those who are vulnerable, right? Verses 9 through 13 says love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. When I think of this love lived outwards, I think of Eline in the Embera Catillo community. Eline is a very young man. I don't even think he's 30 yet. And he is one of the elders in his community. He is seen with such respect, that often he is called into these situations of mediating, issues, problems. His family runs a little pharmacy. And one of the things that he has been so convinced of is the need for better medical care in his community. And as a result, he chose to study nursing. He just finished up a program in nursing because he wants to serve his community. He wants to be about bringing not only God's word, but also he wants to care for their physical needs. And I'm just so grateful for the example he is to me, for the way when Julio goes there, I don't have to worry. I know he's taken care of by Aline. I know that he's being offered the best care in the world. And I think about what am I doing to care for others? How am I seeing the needs of my community and actually stepping out and responding? So some more questions. How are we caring for one another well within the church family, but outside in the community as well? As I hear your list of announcements, I get a feeling you all are pretty invested in your community, and I have to say that is a gift. That is a gift. What would it look like for you to love each other sincerely and cling to what is good? And who do you need to show hospitality to? Finally, in verses 14 through 20, Paul offers a call to cultivate peace. You see, Paul says that love is not just for those we like or get along with those who are most like us, right? It's not just for fellow Christians, but love extends even to our enemies. A transformed life is one in which we bless others. We do not consider ourselves above others. We recognize our shared state as sinners in need of God's grace, and we rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. It's one where we seek to live in harmony with others. It's not one of hierarchies, but one of being in solidarity with the most vulnerable. Where might God be calling you to show solidarity? Because a transformed life means we don't pay evil for evil, and as far as it depends on us, we live in peace with everyone. We do not seek revenge. I don't know about you, but this feels very countercultural. Everything I see around me says it's us versus them. It's about revenge. It's about power. It's about making the bad guys pay. I don't know, maybe that's just Colombia, but I have a feeling it's also in the U.S. We live in a world that is constantly dividing us politically, religiously, theologically, culturally, racially, constantly pitting us against each other, teaching us to see those different than us as the enemy. And that was what was happening in the church in Rome. The people were divided, and the conflict was because of culture and of theological differences. And too often this is true. I've seen it in the community of the church today. We just went through a very, very polarized election season in Colombia, and it was so disheartening to see the way the church spewed the continual rhetoric of hate. But I believe that what Paul is calling us to is what Jesus called us to. Because Jesus was clear. That's not the way of the kingdom, folks. And here Paul reminds the Roman Christians and us of this call to cultivate peace among those in the church body, and especially with those who are not a part of the church. We see this as Paul calls the Christians in Rome to give water and food to their enemies. Tangibly getting near, getting close, showing love, and building peace. You heard a little bit about Be Peace, Make Peace from the children's time. And again, I want to share, this was a program that started in 2018. After adults, young adults from the Covenant Church in El Bagre participated in a year of learning about what biblical peace is and what it means to be peace builders. Estefania was one of those young leaders. I think you can see her in the next picture. And she is my hero because she really embodies for me what Paul's invitation is to cultivate peace in her community. When the project began in one neighborhood, Stephanie was a major source of leadership for that small group. The project has now grown and spread to four other neighborhoods in town. Today, the ministry has impacted the lives of hundreds of children and youth and adults with the gospel of Jesus. In a community that has known generations of violent conflict, they are saying, no more. No more. They are inviting people to know what true peace is, shalom, holistic peace that includes right relationship with oneself, with God, with others, and with creation. And so through dynamic programs and peace fairs, sports events, movie forums, community-wide forums, workshops on nonviolent transformation, conflict transformation, and mental health, tree planting, park cleanup days, I mean, all of it. They are offering spaces for children and youth to change their way of thinking. to be transformed and not to conform to the world around them. And change is happening. People are, who have never been a part of the church, were so drawn to be peace, make peace, and have found a family that loves them and wants them to experience wholeness and peace. Remember, a year ago, talking with a psychologist who had been brought into the project. Not a part of the church, not a Christian, but be peace, make peace again, sees themselves as an extension of the body. And so through her relationship with them, she came to know Christ. And she called Julio and I one day and said, my life has been so transformed because of these kids and these youth, and I want to know God more. So if you have resources of how I can grow, of how I can get to know Jesus better, would you please help me? And so Stefania has been faithful in walking alongside her. Stefania, along with Cristal, Dianis, who started in the project as children, are now a part of its leadership. And they are committed to living out peace. They're currently in part of a research project. My husband is getting his PhD, and his whole research focuses on Be Peace, Make Peace, and the transformation that it has brought with it. One of the things that's been sad for me is that this way of living out peace hasn't always been popular by some of the people in the church, unfortunately. You see, sometimes as Christians, we resemble the people that Paul is writing to in Corinth, and that we have set ways of thinking about what evangelism should look like, who should be a part of the church. However, leaders like Estefania continue to live and invite their church community to understand God's love for all of us and God's desire for the world to experience shalom. So friends, if we're honest, who do we consider to be our enemy? And what is God's invitation to us in Romans 12? What is your response to those who are different than you, whether it be religiously, ethnically, politically? Are you able to see them as God's beloved creation, as sinners saved by grace? And how would you show them love? Would you invite them for a meal? Would you help them if they're hurting? Not easy, but I don't think we can get away from the fact that this is what transformed living looks like. So in conclusion, Romans 12 ends with these words, and they are words I have to repeat over and over and over to myself. Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul is not naive. He knows there's evil in the world, right? He knows that temptation is to get sucked in and overwhelmed by it. But the invitation remains to live into our transformed life by living according to the values of the kingdom of God as modeled and taught by Jesus. This means even in the face of evil, we seek to do good. Friends, the world will be transformed when we Christians are transformed by the gospel of Jesus. Both in the way we think and in the way we live. We show we've been transformed when we love and serve each other in the church community with the gifts we've been given, not seeing ourselves as better than others. When we love and serve those who are outside of the church, when we seek to live in peace with everyone despite our differences, even our enemies. When we live in the way that seeks to do good in the face of evil, we are practicing the gospel of Jesus. So my last question for you today is, what does it mean that as a church, Valley Covenant, you are a community transformed and not conformed to the ways of the world, to not respond to evil with evil, but to overcome it with good? Let me pray. God, this is not an easy passage. God, we are so grateful that you love us and that you have extended grace to us, that you have created a way to return to your intended desire for us to live in shalom, to experience wholeness and flourishing, peace and justice, Lord God. But we admit that when we look around,
We see so much brokenness and so often the very opposite out of what it is you desire. God, forgive us when we are a part of that. Forgive us when instead of living out of our values, of our transformed minds, God, we live in confirmation to what the culture around us tells us. God, would you, in your powerful, powerful ways through your Holy Spirit, be convicting, be transforming, be changing us, be renewing our mind as we continue to live in community. God, we cannot do this alone. You invite us to be a part of one another. God, you invite us to, again, tangibly show what this transformed life in Jesus looks like to a world that is so hurting, to a world that is so divided. So God, I pray for my friends here today. I pray, Jesus, that you would empower, that you would humble, that you would go before them and behind them and beside them and in them. God, that Eugene, that the community around, that Oregon, that the world, God, would be changed because of their love, their service, and their commitment to peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing. God, we know that you are at work in the world. We affirm that you are at work in the world. Help us to cling on to that truth when the evil seems a bit too overwhelming. Thank you, Jesus, for my friends in Colombia who teach me daily what perseverance looks like. Thank you for their lives and for their leadership and their ministry. God, we bless them today. We ask that you would be with them as they are yet again facing another huge challenge after the earthquake. So God, we place ourselves in your hands and we trust that you will do your work in us. God, help us to be willing participants. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.